Good morning, Crossroads Arlington. I hope you guys are doing well. How are y'all doing this morning? Great. So glad to see you guys joining us online, live. We have people in the room. We're so glad that you're with us. We have a great morning in store. We have a baptism this morning, I believe. So we're excited about that as Joe continues this series in Revelation. Again, thank you guys so much for your generosity in the room and online. And if any point during this song or the response song at the end, if you want to continue to give online, you can do that at crossroadsarl.org/giving. Thank you guys so much for what you do, because if you don't do what you do, then we can't do what we do. And so we're really, really thankful as a staff for that. So thank you so much for that generosity. Let me pray for a morning. We'll get started. God, thanks so much for this morning. And Lord, we ask that you would just be blessed and honored this morning. So God, as we sing your praises, as we hear your words in the book of Revelation, as we watch life change happen in baptism, God, as we respond accordingly to what the Spirit's going to do in our hearts this morning, God, may we just start our morning with saying, God, you are everything. And God, may we worship at the altar of everything, not everything else, but the altar of everything, and that's you. So may God, may you be blessed and honored again. We thank that we have an opportunity to gather in this room and online in this season. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tanya.
We will sing, sing, sing and make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Kingdoms bow down, Son of God, you are the one. You are the one.
You are the love.
You are the love that frees us. You are the light that leads us. Like a fire burning, Son of God, you are the one. Yeah, you are the adore you, kings and kingdoms bow down, Son of God, you are the one. Yeah, you are the one we're living for. Sing, sing, sing and make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout.
Thank you so much, worship team, and thank you for being here this morning. Thanks, Tyler. It's great to see you. So anyway, hope you're doing well, and we are seeing some new faces, not new, but old new faces that haven't been here for a while, and it's really great that we're beginning to just slowly but surely have people come back, and that's a great thing. So how are you guys doing? Are you doing well? Okay, good. I like to hear that. Are you feeling stress? Feeling some of the uneasiness? Ken's not. That's good, and I'm glad. Okay, that is really, really awesome. Things like that can come and go, crazy times. But we're going to jump back into our study in the revelation of Jesus Christ. I've got a study guide here that Gino makes up, puts a lot of time into it. And if you want to pick one of those up on your way out, for those of you that are here, they're on the table over there. And also, I think you can download them from our webpage. So if you'd like to do that, that would be great. Pop that right down there. And I want to do a quick review, and then we're going to jump into this morning's passage. I'm going to shorten the sermon a little bit. We're going to cover a lot of scripture, but a little bit shorter, and then we're going to do our spiritual survival tip, okay? Because we got a baptism and some neat things going on. But last week in Revelation 14, we saw that there were 144,000 Jewish evangelists who were singing a song that only they could sing. And God, this is, as things go on in these end times, there are amazing things happen. Then we saw an angel fly overhead declaring the gospel, the everlasting gospel to all nations, every nation, tribe, language, and people. And then we saw an angel declare the fall of Babylon. Babylon being the sinful, corrupt, political and financial and sexual ways of this world that we live in. If your heart hungers and thirsts for righteousness, there's coming a day when Babylon, that system that so discourages us, when we think we're being lied to, we think we never know what's true, and there's corruption, and you hear about things like that, that system will be torn down. And then another angel declaring that anyone who worships the beast or his image or receives the mark of the beast will experience the wrath of God. Now, I want to pick up where we left off in Revelation chapter 14. And we're going to kind of, after this week, we're going to have one, maybe two more weeks where we kind of wrap up, because there are a lot of things coming in Revelation that you can study maybe on your own. But I want to definitely end with some of the scenes in heaven. Okay, but I want to get through just a couple of chapters today, so let's jump in chapter 14, verse 14. And John, who's receiving this vision, he says, "Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and seated on the cloud, one like a son of man." Wow. "With a golden crown on his head, and a sharp sickle in his hand." So John sees now Jesus Christ in this ongoing vision. He sees him there. He's on a white cloud. He has a golden crown, and he has a sharp sickle in his hand. Okay, let's see what's going on right here. Verse 14. Actually, verse 15. It says, "And another angel came out of the temple, calling with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud," calling to Jesus, saying, "Jesus, put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come. For the harvest of the earth is fully ripe." So he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle across the earth, and the earth was reaped. Now, this is an interesting thing that's taking place here. An angel comes out and tells Jesus the time is right. It's time for reaping, and reaping has to do in this context with judgment, with final judgment. We've been seeing it throughout the revelation of Jesus Christ, throughout this amazing vision that was given to John. But Jesus swings his sickle across the earth, and the earth is reaped. And again, remember, John is seeing this in a vision. And I want us to remember something. Only our righteous God and only our perfect Savior are qualified to bring judgment to the earth. They're not merely qualified to judge, but they judge in a much more decisive manner than we ever could. And they bring judgment at just the right time. Just the right time. So when it comes to judgment, we need to sit back and relax and leave it to the Lord. We need to leave it in his hands. That also, I think, includes us judging other people. I think it also includes us having a difficult time releasing anger and bitterness towards other people, unforgiveness. I think we have to leave that to God, and God will take care of that. Now, I want you to see the powerful imagery of grapes, of a wine press, and of wine to describe what happens once Jesus swings his sickle of judgment. Verse 17. Then another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, the angel who has authority over the fire, and he called with a loud voice to the one who had the sharp sickle. This is the angels talking to each other. He says to the angel, "Put in your sickle and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth, for its grapes are ripe." So the angel swung his sickle across the earth and gathered the grape harvest of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. It's amazing imagery of the way that God is going to bring judgment to the world that I've been saying this phrase that by and large has rejected him. It says, and the wine press, so the grapes are taken, they're reaped, ripe for judgment, and they're placed into a wine press. I'm Italian, I should know what a wine press looks like. I've never really seen one, okay? I thought they used the feet, right? Okay? This is something that presses down the wine and squeezes out the juice within them. But in this case, the grapes are people. And the wine, the liquid being squeezed out is blood. It says in verse 20, and the winepress was trodden outside the city, and blood flowed from the winepress as high as a horse's bridle for 1,600 stadia. Blood comes out of the wine press as high as a horse's bridle. I guess it's maybe about here, for 184 miles. Now, again, I don't think this is a literal thing that's taking place. I think it's what John saw in the vision. But the imagery is that there will be a day of reckoning. Isn't it hard sometimes to deal with the righteousness of God when it involves judgment? Isn't it hard? Because we love to think about God as the God of grace, which he is. But we're not so excited about seeing this side of God. Vengeance, it belongs to God. His judgment will be swift and without resistance. You know, I find that I like to help God when it comes to bringing judgment. Anyone like that here? I like to help him out a little bit. At least I like to chime in with and give him advise him as to when. You know what happens to me? I'm watching baseball now instead of the news, okay? I find that my feelings of anger and judgment rise up when I see police and peace officials being attacked in the violent protests. I don't even know what they are anymore. In a desire to overthrow our government, we've lost the protesting. It was hijacked. We hijacked it, you know. We had something to stand up for and to talk about, that injustice from a police officer or anyone else is wrong, and it was hijacked. And now we see, I just know when I see these violent protests taking place and bricks and rocks and fires being started, I know that for me, it's, I want to say things that you can't say, right? I think them. And, you know, God will work it together for good. But we're living in a time that, you know, I think about it. I think probably during the Civil War, it was probably like this, you know? People saw things just unfolding. Probably in World War I and then again in World War II, I would imagine that people thought that, and maybe this is nothing. It's nothing compared to the Civil War or those two world wars. But my gosh, when you see some of the things that are happening, there's a desire there to jump in and help God to do what he doesn't need our help doing. See, our call as believers in Jesus Christ is to continue to love and to reach out with love and with the message of peace, and to bring Christ to this world. So let's move on now to chapter 15. It says, "Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and amazing, seven angels with seven plagues, which are the last, for with them, these last seven plagues, the wrath of God is finished." Verse 2, "And I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and also those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of his name, standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hands, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, 'Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed.'" Those who conquered the beast and his image, those who became believers during the tribulation, they'll celebrate by singing this song of the Lamb and the song of Moses. As loving as God is, listen, as you hear about the judgments of God, to be honest with you, one of the reasons I'm going to kind of wrap Revelation up just in a couple of weeks is because I think it's almost too much for us. We've been on it. This is, I think, the 12th week. And maybe it's just too much. Maybe we need to get back to focusing on the love of God. But don't ever think that the judgment of God causes him to cease to be the loving God who he is. But you see, as loving as God is, he is also just, and he will bring judgment on those who reject and rebel against him. That's what he does. And in the same way that we can't step in and help him with the judgment, neither can we step in and tell him he's maybe overdoing it a little bit with the judgment, right? Because you have those different personalities. Some people say, "Bring it on, give him more," okay? And other people are saying, "Wait a second, how can a loving God?" Listen, don't go to either one of those extremes. Just leave it all in his hands, because his judgments are righteous. He's a righteous God. He doesn't do things that are wrong. Verse 5, he says, "After this, I looked, and the sanctuary of the tent of witness in heaven was opened, and out of the sanctuary came the seven angels with the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen with golden sashes around their chest. And one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the sanctuary was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one could enter the sanctuary until the seven plagues of the seven angels were finished." So seven angels with the last seven judgments of God come out of the sanctuary. And these are called the seven bowl judgments of God. So we saw the seven scroll judgments way back in the early chapters in Revelation. Seven scrolls, and in the seventh scroll were the seven trumpet judgments. And then we saw the trumpet judgments, and now we are introduced to the last seven bowl judgments of God. And in verse 16, I want to just kind of refer to them. I'm not going to read through all of them. But in verse 1, it says, "Then I heard a loud voice from the temple telling the seven angels, 'Go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God.'" It has been determined in heaven at this point to pour out the final wrath of God on the earth. Do you know that desire that you and me maybe get when we see lawlessness or we hear about horrible things that happen in this world we live in? It's kind of, you know what I identify it as in my life? I identify it as I hunger and thirst for righteousness. I want to see good things happen. I want to see good in people, and there's so much good in people. But I hunger and thirst for righteousness to come to the world, and yet God does too. Can you imagine the perfectly righteous one? How he hungers and thirsts for righteousness? Do you know, we as his people, we can, you and I, by living righteously, can quench his appetite, the appetite that he has for righteousness. He hungers, he thirsts for righteousness, and we can quench his thirst and quench his hunger as we live righteously before him. Isn't that an exciting thing to consider that we can actually do for him? You know, we can do it for each other as well. Do you know, when I hear about some of you living lives of faith and lives of have seen God change your lives and the positive things that he does, it quenches my thirst for hunger and my thirst for hunger and righteousness. It quenches that too. And we can do that for each other, but most importantly, we do it for our God. So why do we refrain from sinful behaviors? Because there's a lot of reasons. Many of them have to do with the way it benefits us personally. To put away unrighteousness and to live in a righteous way. But it also is because we bring encouragement to each other and to our God. I want you to think about that as the next time you have an opportunity to maybe do something that probably doesn't reflect righteousness. Now, these seven bowl judgments, they're the last. So the first angel in verse 2, he goes out and it says, I'm going to refer to these. The verses will be up there. I won't read all of it. But it says, he pours out his bowl on the earth and harmful and painful sores come upon people. People who have aligned themselves with the beast. Worship him, taken the mark of the image of the beast. And people begin to experience pain. Verse 3, the second angel comes out and he pours out his bowl into the sea, and the sea becomes like blood, and all of the creatures in the earth, marine life, all of it dies. You remember earlier on it was a third of it. Well, now all of it dies. This is the end. God is bringing judgment now upon the earth, final judgment. In verse 4, the third angel comes out, and we see the rivers and the springs become like blood, and everything there dies as well. In verse 5, we get an explanation, just a little bit of an explanation from one of the angels, a little commentary on what's happening. It says, and I heard the angel in charge of the waters say, just are you, O Holy One, who is and who was, for you brought these judgments. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. It is what they deserve. And I heard the altar saying, yes, Lord God, the Almighty, true and just are your judgments. I want you to imagine at the altar of God. You know, you've got God the Father. You've got the Son is there at the right hand. You have, remember, the 24 elders. You have the living creatures. And there are all different groups of beings and people that are there. And I want you to think of it as, think of it in light of the American government, the American political system, right? We have different areas, right? Can you imagine in our country, in this day, all of those groups of people being in agreement? You would say, I know with God all things are possible, but not that. I'm not even talking about just within the party. I'm talking about every, they all come together and they all agree on something that needs to be done. All, 100%. That's what happens in heaven as God is bringing down these judgments. They're all in agreement that this is right and just and needs to be taking place. You see, our God does not merely have a bark. He has a bite. He has made clear to his creation how they're to live. And by and large, they've turned away. They've ignored him. I don't understand how that can take place. I'll tell you how I live my life. Nothing else matters but him. Now, I care about some of the things that are happening around me, but it's all about him because what else matters? Will you think with me for a second? What else really matters? And the book of Revelation perhaps is given to us so that we would recognize nothing. Nothing else really matters. It's all about him. Now, he gives the ability to enjoy the things we have in life. My brother Willie came up to me, and it's hard to understand you, Willie, especially when you have the mask on, especially when worship is being played. So the band is playing, and Willie's talking to me. He's crying. I was like, I need to listen to Willie. He's crying. This is going to be something that I get to hear. I need to hear. And he's telling me how God gave him, this is what I got. Willie, you amen this if I get it right, that he wanted a potato and some fish last night. And God got it to him. I'm not sure how, but God, he didn't deserve it. He wanted it. God got it to him. It was the best potato he ever had in his life. Did I get it right, Willie? Almost.
I did not need nothing. I wanted something.
Amen, Willie. Thank you, Willie. Thank you very much. Well, I'm gonna cut you a little short because we got it. Thank you. But I want you to be around here. Let people talk to you a little bit. So listen to what Willie is saying. He's saying that God gave him, look, a lot of you guys have potatoes in your cupboards, okay? You can go make a potato and you're going to be like, what's the big deal? I ate the potato. I don't know what Willie's talking about. God gives us the ability to enjoy some of the simplest things that comes from him. That's why nothing else matters other than him, because with him, even nothing is everything. I know, Willie, you want to come back, but you just stand up there, okay? You see, even a potato can bring a man the next day to tears because he recognized that it came from God, who was graciously pouring out into his life something. He didn't deserve it, but he wanted it. Thank you, Willie. He did not need it, but God gave it to him. Verse 8, the fourth angel. It says, the fourth angel poured out his blood on the sun. It was allowed to scorch people with fire. It says they were scorched by the fierce heat and they cursed the name of God who had power over these plagues. They did not repent and give him glory. See, that's been the problem all along in mankind, that people refuse to repent and give God glory. I would say, Willie, you just gave us an example of giving God glory for a potato. And I think that what happens is when we recognize he's everything, then the things that are around us, it's just gravy. It's just extra. It's just extra because by having him, we have everything. He gives the ability for us to enjoy even the simplest things of life. And to think that we have everything, even when someone else might look at us and say that we have nothing. I know a lot of people who have a whole lot and act like they have nothing because they don't even have the ability to enjoy what they have. Wow. The fifth angel in verse 10 pours out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. In a moment, in just a moment, the fifth angel will be the one that has the honors. The throne of the beast will be plunged into darkness. I want you to think about something. How quickly will the kingdoms we build be destroyed by God? He's going to take this kingdom of the beast, which is going to be like a worldwide kingdom. And in just a moment, when the fifth angel empties out his bowl, it'll all be destroyed. Or we simply leave our kingdom behind if we die and go to be with the Lord. The sixth angel in verse 12 poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates. Its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. The Euphrates River is dried up to prepare a way for kings' armies coming from the east. Last two verses I want to look at this morning, verses 13. Actually, just a couple, we'll see. Verse 13. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Remember those three? You have the dragon is Satan. The beast is the Antichrist. The false prophet is the false prophet, okay? They're the leaders, okay? It says, frogs were coming out of their mouths. Verse 14, for they are demonic spirits, performing signs who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for battle on the great day of God the Almighty. There's a final battle that's taking place. The great day of God, and the demonic spirits are gathering kings from all over the world, particularly, he says, from the east, to come to this area. The Euphrates River is dried up, and it's going to be the place of the battle. Verse 15, behold, I am coming like a thief. This is Jesus. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed. Jesus steps in with a word of encouragement. He says, I'm coming. He says, I'm coming like a thief when no one expects. That's why when I say it seems like the Lord's about to return, I'm probably wrong, okay? Because you don't really know when the thief is coming, okay? He comes when he's unexpected. But it says, blessed is the one who stays awake. alert, keeping his garments on, being clothed with Jesus Christ and his righteousness. We need to be ready for his return. Isn't that what I said is the whole point of the book of Revelation, of our study, is that we would have hope moving into the future and that we would be ready for his coming. Verse 16, and they assembled, they, the armies coming from the east, they assembled them, the demons, the dragon, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. They assembled them, the armies, at the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. You should make a movie and call it Armageddon, right? They assemble the armies, and they're going to do battle, but their opponent will be the Lamb. Next week, we'll pick up, and we'll see. I'm going to see if I can wrap things up next week. At the most, it'll be 2 weeks. And then we're going to move in, and we're going to kind of focus on, I'll just be praying the Lord shows me what to teach next. So let me just give you my spiritual survival tips. I have one for today. So I'm calling these spiritual survival tips for uncertain times. Tried and tested from my own experience. So last week I shared something with you. I said survival tip number one, accept and embrace the circumstances you presently find yourself in and make a decision to walk through your circumstances in faith regardless of how you feel. And I want to add something to it. Give thanks for the difficult things that you're facing today. Give thanks for it. That takes it. It's one thing to embrace it and accept it, and that's great. That's a great start. But then you begin to give thanks for the things that God has allowed, perhaps orchestrated, allowed in your life that are causing you discomfort and pain and stress and anxiety, and start thanking God for those very things. It's very powerful when we do that. That was survival tip number one. Here's spiritual survival tip number two. Okay. Tried and tested. Why do I keep saying that? I should say tied and tested or tried and trusted. There you go. It's tried and tested. I'm going to share with you now the second one, and you're going to say, oh, come on, Joe, you got to have something a little more profound than that. But I'm just going to tell you what works for me. So I don't want to be profound. I want to be practical. And I want to help you face whatever it is that we're going to face. So the second survival tip is fill your soul with spiritual food. Fill it. So that when uncertain times come, you have something to sustain you. See, a lot of times we lay up when it comes to pouring into ourselves spiritually. Well, you know, I don't read the Bible, but I go to a church that teaches the Bible. Well, you know, my teachings, they really help me a lot. By the way, the greatest way to learn is to teach. But if you're not reading the scripture for yourself, your cupboard can get dry by Saturday afternoon. If you're really depending on Sunday, then maybe by Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, you're getting a little dry. You come here, we pump you up with a little spiritual insulin, you know, or a little bit of, what do you call it, intravenous. I mean, not insulin, intravenous, right? And I would say not the best way to survive in uncertain times. You need to fill your soul up so that when the uncertain times come, you have something to sustain you. See, for me, I read the Bible as a regular part of my life. Every night, before I go to sleep, I'll read. And I was reading for quite some time, about a chapter a day. You say, Joe, that's it? Well, I've been reading it my whole life. I read a chapter a day. I'm trying to live it out. It's not about reading it, but a chapter a day, and then I'm doing my study. I don't count the study time as part of my Bible reading, but a little while ago, I decided I was going to kick it in a little bit, and I started adding, and I'm reading now 13 chapters a day. Try falling behind one day and then catching up. Not so easy, right? But what I'm doing is I'm fattening myself up like a bear before going into hibernation. You know, I'm fattening myself up spiritually. And I've made this a priority in my life to put God's word in my heart. So I'm not preaching now. Remember I told you that last week? I'm not preaching. I'm telling you about things that really will help you to be able to walk through this life. Regardless of what takes place, regardless of what we face, and to walk through in faith. Put the word of God in your heart. You know, I'm telling you, I read one chapter a day, so you can do that. I don't expect you to do 13, okay? It's a little crazy. Remember, I'm a little extreme. That was my Joe knows when I talked about aligning your calling and your passions. I'm a little extreme, okay? But if you just do one chapter a day, that's 365 chapters a year, and you do that on a regular basis, and what happens is you start getting fat spiritually. You start putting in some spiritual stuff that's going to help you. You're going to be able to call on it when crisis hits. And if you don't do that, you're not going to have that. So spiritual food, the Word of God. And lastly, times of prayer. Regular times of prayer. What I do is I have regular times of prayer where I focus on the presence of God. I don't like to explain what prayer is, what I do, because there are so many different ways that we can connect with God. For some of us, it's through music. For some, it's in the shower. For some, it's in the car. For some, it's before we go to sleep. For some, it's when we wake. It's just so many different ways to do it. But I want to encourage you to fatten yourself up with spiritual food by beginning to have regular times where you focus on the presence of God. You focus on it. Because when I sense God's presence, it delights me beyond imagination. Willie, kind of like what you were saying with the potato, there are times that I'm in the presence of God, and for me, I hardly talk when I pray. I really just sit in the presence of God. I listen to music. I'll talk occasionally. I listen. I look at things. I look at flowers and different things in my backyard. But when I sense his presence, it delights me in a way that nothing else does. When I sense his presence, it reminds me of my purpose in being on earth. Just reminds me. When I sense his presence, I receive direction for my life. How many times I come out of the hot tub and I know what I'm supposed to do, whether it's for the church, whether it's in our family. When I sense the presence of God, I have confidence and faith to face the day. So that is, for me, a survival tip that has paid amazing dividends. Because in times when I do experience those times of anxiety and fear and confusion, I have a pantry that's full. And I have something to draw on, God's word and my times with him. And I want to close out this morning by, I want to read a poem to you. I had it last week, and I forgot to read it, but I went long last week, and I apologize for that. But the poem is called Exposed, and it's going to be up for you. It's in the study guide, but let me read this to you. It's written by a person named Sarah Burns, and she wrote it during the corona pandemic about this. She says, "We've all been exposed. Not necessarily to the virus, maybe, who even knows? We've all been exposed by the virus. Corona is exposing us, exposing our weak sides, exposing our dark sides, exposing what normally lays far beneath the surface of our souls, hidden by the invisible masks we wear, now exposed by the paper masks we can't hide far enough behind. Corona is exposing our addiction to comfort, our obsession with control, our compulsion to hoard, our protection of self. Corona is peeling back our layers, tearing down our walls, revealing our illusions, leveling our best laid plans. Corona is exposing the gods we worship, our health, our hurry, our sense of security, our favorite lies, our secret lusts, our misplaced trust. Corona is calling everything into question. What is the church without a building? What is my worth without an income? How do we plan without certainty? How do we love despite risk? Corona is exposing me, my mindless numbing, my endless scrolling, my careless words, my fragile nerves. We've all been exposed, our junk laid bare, our fears made known, the band-aid torn, the masquerade done. So what now? What's left? Clean hands, clean eyes, tender hearts, what Corona reveals, God can heal. Come, Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. Lord, we come before you now as your people. And Lord, we're learning and reading about these end times and how things will end. And it frightens some of us. It frightens me to see the wrath that you have that's bound in your righteousness. It's just, but it's scary. Lord, as we face these continued uncertain times, I pray that we would know that you have the opportunity to bring us closer to you than ever before. May we take this may we embrace and accept and be thankful for the circumstances we're in today. And may we purpose in our hearts to fill up our souls with spiritual food as we pour your word into our hearts and as we spend time focusing on your presence, and help us to soar through these times as your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Worship team, you can... Oh, okay.
Thank you, Joe, for that sermon and for those words. And we're going to get to our baptism in just a second. And I thought it was something that stood out to me in the sermon today, I think, and even the spiritual survival tip is, if this is all we're doing spiritually, it's not enough, right? And I'm a pretty extroverted person. I'm pretty relational. Maybe I think I am, and maybe I'm not. I'm not sure. You know, what it exposed, I think when the pandemic first hit and we were all so cut off from one another, if you didn't have that deep relationship, you really atrophied, right? You really suffered. And so as I was thinking about the judgments, like if you don't have water stored up and you're drinking from the rivers in the springs, like there's nothing to come in the backside and restore and replenish that. And so I think the encouragement I think Joe has for you this morning is, like, if this is it, this is not enough. Doesn't mean that God isn't enough, but we have a part to play too, right? And so, you know, push into those relationships. Push into reading your Bible and praying and getting spiritual food. You know, a mentor of mine said, food is information you send to your body. And if I think that's so true, especially when Joe was talking about the spiritual food that we put in ourselves will sustain us in the hard times, and that's where we are. Right, and so when you find yourself struggling, I think it's from a deficit. It's a calorie deficit. It's a spiritual calorie deficit, right? So let's make sure that we push into one another and walk with one another and continue to honor God, who is everything. Okay, just a few announcements. Brock and I think his baptism people are going to come on up and get ready. While I'm finishing these announcements, Tuesday nights we have house prayer, so that's one way you can be fed. Right? 6 o'clock, Gino's small group prays for prayer requests. And then we have a prayer service at 7 p.m. We love it that people are here in the room. We invite you to come and join us for that. Our VBS, It's been 5 weeks since VBS started. Can you believe it? And kids youth in our youth camp as well on Thursday nights that have been happening. So we have a culminating Wednesday celebration at 6 p.m. We're going to have dinner. I know. We're going to have dinner. We don't have cafe on Sunday morning. We're going to have dinner on Wednesday night. So if you've been a part, we'd love for you to come and attend. And we'll have an entertainer and a DJ and some great food. So make sure you do that. Men in the room, August is my favorite month for men's ministry outside of retreat. And there's a reason why. It's probably on the board, maybe. Steak night, right? So if you guys are joining us online or you're in the room, August 14th. Will be our steak night. We'll have more information. Go ahead and just pencil in Friday evening, steak night, and you guys need to be here. And, of course, Joe referenced the blog as well. Joe knows. You can find it on the website. It'll be on the rotating banner. You can also find it on the YouTube channel as well. And all the time he's putting out stuff because, as he said, it's tried and tested through his own spiritual walk, which he has a wealth of walk there. Okay. So thank you, guys. We're going to get to the fun part. Here we go.
I should take my mask off so I can talk. Get this to Dominique. Can y'all make some noise for Jasmine and her daughter, Aaliyah? I'm going to step back here real quick. So I don't know if I have to say this, but I will say this. This is a special occasion. This is a celebration. This is a big deal. This is not a religious thing. This is a super spiritual occasion. And it's super special. And you're looking at two special people. Come on, come into the light, baby girl. You're looking at... I know. This is beautiful. Man, I have the privilege of being able to pastor these beautiful ladies, and they share with me their desire to be baptized and just commit their lives to the Lord. And they totally understand this. And I'm going to read a couple scriptures, if y'all don't mind, before we do this. When we follow Jesus, we follow in our footsteps. Our Lord and Savior was baptized. Y'all know that? He was baptized, and we follow in his footsteps. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 through 17, because this was on my heart this morning as I prayed. It says, "Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it." Jasmine. It's an inside joke. There were some things that were trying to prevent this from happening this morning. John tried to talk him out of it. "I am the one who needs to be baptized by you," John said. "So why are you coming to me?" But Jesus said, "It should be done. For we must carry out all that God requires." So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, and this is what was on my heart, and this is what's on my heart for you. You too this morning. It says, after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my loved Son who brings me great joy." What I believe for you too this morning is that as you guys lay in this water, and you're baptized in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and your old life and your old ways and your old sins, all that's been forgiven and all the things that you want to bury, they're going to be buried and crucified with Christ. And you're going to come out of this water a new creation. Old things will pass away, and behold, everything will become new. But I also believe that the Holy Spirit is going to be baptizing you, and that you're going to come up filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Spirit of God, and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father are going to be looking right now, and they're going to be saying, "That's my daughters, whom I'm well pleased with." Do you believe that? Church, do y'all believe that? Can y'all be praying as we do this? Can y'all be praying and just pray and speak blessing over these two as we do this morning? I'm just going to say this. I know you believe. I want to just reaffirm. You believe that Jesus Christ died and paid the price for all of your sins, past, present, and future sins.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
So he's your Lord and Savior.
Yes, he is.
And we're baptizing you today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Amen. So just hold your nose. Comfortable, ain't it? This water's not cold. I love your story. I love what you both shared with me. I love hearing your story about Alaska. And I know you believe. I want to ask you, do you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God?
Yes.
Who died and paid the price for your sins?
Yes, sir.
Amen. So today, as a public display to the world and everybody watching and the people here, we're baptizing you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Just grab your nose and take a breath.
Singing blessing and honor and glory and power.
power forever to our God. Sing and blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Sing and blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Sing and blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our, ever to our God. Oh, 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 oh.
Amen. You guys are dismissed. Thank you so much for being with us this morning, and have a wonderful week.
Love of ours will rise.